This is The Drive with Josh Graham podcast.
We're internet sensations, guys.
Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons, 3 to 7 on WSJS.
You are on a Monday Drive, WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad, and we're live on Labor Day.
It's live action, Tracy.
It's game day for Duke and Clemson, a game you can listen to on WSJS, and we'll be getting to shortly. It's also officially game week for the Carolina Panthers, and it didn't take long for there to be a damper put on the excitement of that fact. This morning, we learned that while Brian Burns has been with the team and even participated in team meetings this morning, he did not participate in a team walkthrough getting set for the Atlanta Falcons, and pretty clearly, it's a situation where he's unhappy with the fact his contract isn't done. We knew that after listening to Frank Reich speak this morning, and here's some of what Frank had to say about Brian Burns.
I mean, it's hard. I mean, like, I can say, and both of these things can be true, I can say I love and respect Brian Burns, and he's got to do what he's got to do, but does that make it harder? Yeah, it makes it harder. I mean, that's just the facts. I mean, I'm sure he understands that. And, you know, you can't find a more of a team guy than him, you know, but life is complicated sometimes. It gets complicated. So, you know, we just keep moving forward.
Okay. So that might have confused you a little bit, how there's a couple of sides to that. It's hard. Why is it hard? Brian Burns isn't here, and he's the reason why he isn't here. He's choosing not to participate in the team walkthrough, and we're having to make plans, we being the Carolina Panthers in this sense, for not having Brian Burns available, potentially. But at the same time, Brian Burns is the ultimate team guy. It's interesting messaging that if you haven't been following this closely, you might scratch your head at what Frank Reich's saying there. The context matters with Brian Burns' contract dispute. Nick Bosa is the reason why the deal isn't already done. Nick Bosa is the best rusher in the league, and when he signs a new contract, it's going to reset the market for what edge rushers make. He still hasn't signed that deal, though, and he's holding out. See, he hasn't been at Niners camp the way that Brian Burns has. Chris Jones at Kansas City hasn't either. The thinking from agents when it comes to their clients is that clients who play the same position as a player who gets set to reset the market will make more money on their next contract if they wait after that market-changing, market-resetting player signs than if they were to sign it before that player signs. In other words, Nick Bosa is going to reset the cap and put the standard down for what you're expected to be paid, the precedent, going to raise that precedent. And while Brian Burns might not make as much as what Nick Bosa makes, he'll probably make more after Nick Bosa signs than if he doesn't. That's why we are in this position right now, because the Carolina Panthers have the incentive and they have the means to get this deal done. Remember, Scott Fitterer turned down not one, but two first-round draft picks towards the deadline to keep Brian Burns on the roster. They traded away Christian McCaffrey. They traded away in the offseason DJ Moore in order to bring in Bryce Young, trading up to that number one pick. Doing that opened up a lot of cap space on the books. Carolina has one of the... they're in the top five in terms of salary cap space right now. So they're capable of paying them. This is not a cheap organization. David Tepper's one of the richest owners in the NFL. Depending on what list you look at, he might even be the richest owner in the NFL. You have that. You have salary cap space. He plays a premium position. You turned down two first-round picks a year ago. The reason this isn't done yet is because they're waiting on the Bosa deal to get done. What makes it strange is the Carolina Panthers can't control that. So why would Brian Burns hold that against Carolina? It doesn't seem like Carolina is taking it personally. Like, you heard Frank Reich's language. Here's some more from Frank Reich talking about Brian Burns' situation.
I'm at the stage in this where I'm not involved in the contract negotiation at all. Zero. I have zero. At this point, you know, I've expressed, you know, Mr. Tepper and Scott asked me my views of certain things. I've expressed my views. I'm just worried about beating Atlanta, you know, getting our team ready to play Atlanta, really. That's all that's on my mind. And do I hope that he's there? Absolutely, I hope he's there. But, you know, if he's not there, you know, I'm not worried about it. Just move forward.
Let's bring it to the Atlanta Falcons then. Without Brian Burns, Carolina's not beating Atlanta Sunday. Plain and simple. There was also news today. Marquise Haynes, who we thought was going to line up across from Brian Burns before they traded, or pardon me, signed Justin Houston out of free agency. Marquise Haynes seemed to be one of those rushers you were going to rely on. Likely going to start if Brian Burns isn't able to go. He was put on IR, at least going to miss the first four games. So you might be without Brian Burns and Marquise Haynes. Justin Houston has not played a snap for the Carolina Panthers so far this year. Brian Burns is Carolina's best player. And you think without your best player and without Marquise Haynes as well, and also a banged up receiver room and a quarterback who's making his debut on the road with a new coaching staff is going to win a football game? Even with Brian Burns, that seems like a tall order. Without him, forget it. So the context, it matters when it comes to the Brian Burns dispute. There's no animosity here, or at least that's not detected. Burns didn't talk to media today. That's understandable. This is not like the Bosa and Jones situations. It seems like this is a byproduct of those situations. On Twitter, at WSJS Radio, if you want in, that's where we're streaming video on this Labor Day. In addition to YouTube and Twitch, Will Dalton, the executive producer of the show. This weekend, we were in Charlotte for North Carolina, beating South Carolina by 2 touchdowns. You had Florida State last night hammering LSU. Go ACC, am I right?
They look good. If Carolina's defense can do that consistently, and if Florida State can do that consistently, and we know what Clemson's probably going to do. ACC.
We'll see.
Look out.
We'll see about Clemson.
Yeah.
Here's what I know about Duke Clemson. It is a win-win for us tonight. Duke Clemson is a win-win. If Clemson wins, you can book College Game Day being in Death Valley a few weeks from now. September 23rd, mark it down, Clemson, Florida State. That's where College Game Day is going to be, just like College Game Day was in Chapel Hill, or pardon me, in Charlotte this past weekend. Lee Corso putting on the Ram head, and there was a Josh Graham Boston College head in the stands as
Boston
well.
Boston College?
We need to talk to the person that put up that head at some point during today's show. We'll see if we can make that happen. Clemson's not going to lose to Florida Atlantic after this game if they win against Duke tonight. They're not going to lose against Charleston Southern. Both those games are in Death Valley. Florida State's not going to lose to Boston College at home or Southern Miss.
Boston College?
So you're going to have 2-3-0 teams that very well could be ranked in the top five, depending on what type of carnage happens the next few weeks, which would be very exciting stuff. That's if Clemson wins. If Duke wins, it would be their greatest win in over 30 years. That's as far as I'm willing to go. David Shumate, maybe he'll go farther. Voice of the Blue Devils, who will join us later in the show. With Duke, it all goes back to 1989 when they won the ACC, Steve Spurrier's year. 41-0, they beat North Carolina to clinch it. There's that classic photo of them in front of the scoreboard. They also beat Clemson that year. If you want to go back further, then you go back to the 40s and you go to the Rose Bowl win. If Duke wins, it's going to be one of the signature wins in the history of Duke football. But like Florida State last night and North Carolina the night before that, you should expect that Clemson's going to win and probably send a message too. That's what FSU and North Carolina did. Not only did they win the games, they won it and left very little doubt. It's like the coach in Remember the Titans, leave no doubt. Let them remember the night they played the Titans. All we've heard all offseason, it's all about Florida State. Oh, man. Clemson, offensively, is Cade Klubnik, the guy. Oh, look at how DJ balled over the weekend. Clearly, it's coaching. They got Garrett Riley in the building now. This is Cade Klubnik's first regular season start. I'm excited to watch the skill position players. Everybody's saying this is going to be a close one. I don't know if it is. I think the Tigers are going to win, and they're going to cover. But if that doesn't happen, and I'm going to be at this game, going to be driving to Durham right after we get off the air, it's a win-win. If Clemson wins, great for the ACC. If Duke wins, great for us here in the state of North Carolina. It would mean all four of our ACC schools won in week one. North Carolina and Duke, Wake and NC State on Thursday night. And that, again, is a positive. So it is truly a win-win situation. I'm being told we are going to chat with the person that infiltrated College Game Day with the Josh Graham fathead. Josh Graham, Boston College face fathead. Did you see that on Saturday? Well, we'll tell you about it and how it happened next.
Your attention, please. It's
showtime. This is The Drive with Josh Graham.
The highlight of the weekend was College Game Day on Saturday, when at 9 a.m., after walking Willow the dog, I turn it on. The new intro for College Game Day, pretty good. Spinoff of the Big and Rich coming to your city, getting Lainey Wilson involved, Darius Rucker involved, and from Charlotte, about a minute into the broadcast, right behind Lee Corso's shoulder, I saw the Josh Graham Boston College face emerge from over like a few fans, different signs, a few of which I don't know if I'm allowed to read on the radio. That was a fun conversation with my mom. Hey, Mom, turn on ESPN. Well, which one are you? I'm behind the sign that says the Heels came to Charlotte to beat the Cox, minus the in there. Right? Had to explain that. That was fun. The guy who is responsible for that fathead emerging on College Game Day is Kyle, the Amazon driver that joins us now. Kyle, how early did you get to College Game Day to get prime positioning the way that you did?
Man, first of all, thank you guys for having me on the show today. Man, I left my house at about 5 o'clock a.m., which apparently was too late because those jokers were there. I got there, I think, around 6:40, 6:45. The place was already packed by then. You know, we had been – guys had been standing there behind me since, like, 6:30. And imagine that, no traffic, man. I ran right through that some gun and got there about 6:40, 6:45, waited it out with everybody. It was a good time, man.
You still had a pretty good position, though. How confused were the people around you with the fathead?
Well, see, that's the thing about carrying that fathead with your face on it around my neck, man. There's three types of people, okay? There's one type who stares and just kind of gives a little half grin, like, okay, yeah, that's funny. Doesn't even matter to them. The other half literally stop me and say, hey, what is that? And I have to go into explaining it. The general consensus that day, man, as you could see on College Game Day's Twitter when they do the signs thing, I was in a crowd of my people, man. As weird as we were with our signs, as great as those signs were, I was in a crowd of people that had a lot of signs, a lot of funny things going on. There was one or two people that did kind of recognize it. They were like, hey, I've seen that somewhere, but I don't quite know where. And I had to explain to them, man, hey, listen, this is what it is. This is what we're doing. There was a lot of things I wanted to do with it. I wanted to debut the Graham Williams. What is it? Graham Williams. Williams,
oh, Graham William Williams the fourth. Yeah, man.
The thing is, they don't. When you're in the pit, they don't allow signs with sticks. It has to be all hands. So I had the stick. I had a T-shirt to go around it, and then I had the little UNC headband. But Yeah, they weren't allowing all that, so it was all good.
No, that could still be saved for another time. BDOT still is mad at me over the Graham William Williams IV, which is a sign that it hit close to home, that there's some resonance there.
You did
WD,
what you were supposed to do.
WD is a Tar Heel fan. Graham William Williams IV as a Tar Heel alter ego. I think there's something there.
You're wearing him down, man. You're wearing him down. He's going to come around here soon. He's starting to like me a little bit now.
you might be emulating some people on Frat Row, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what we're going
for. Select group there, not all of them, though.
What? I got a question. Whose idea was it to make polos and khakis the normal wear for football games, man?
Mike Golic Jr., who was calling the game on not on television, he was doing it on national radio, he pointed that out to me. We were talking about polos and khakis and talking about Golden Bachelor. Those are the two things that we got to. And Mike Golic Jr. was wondering about that being the decorum. And it does seem like this is a Southern thing. Since I've only grown up in the South, it's all I know, but I guess you saw a lot of people even wearing the garnet and black that were donning the polos and khakis too, or just Carolina fans, North Carolina fans?
Carolina, man, we're a special type, man, because I remember at game day, Reese Davis, you know, it was a very pro South Carolina crowd at college game day, right?
And in the stands.
And it was, oh my gosh, it was a sight to see. Because there were a lot of things said to me. I was told this wasn't our state anymore. It was South Carolina state, you know, things like that. But as far as the dress, man, I mean, they were going to church. I mean, my goodness. And they treated it as church. I guess down there, that is their, you know, the football game is their church.
The women dress up. I didn't know that the dudes dressed up. I know the women dressed up for games.
These dudes were dressed up, and they had the polos on, the khakis. Every single last one of them looked the same. But it was funny because, you know, even Reese Davis made the joke before the show started. He said, I'm glad to see a healthy bunch of South Carolina fans. I guess the North Carolina fans are somewhere eating their brunch with their mimosas, with their pinky out. Oof. And all that stuff. Oof. Oh, man, Reese got me fired up. Then I look around, I'm like, darn, we look like the rowdy bunch out here, man. We out here in our nice T-shirts. You know, we're living a good life. And like I said, these dudes are dressed up like they're going to the board meeting down here at Alamance County ABSS.
Kyle, the Amazon driver, had the Josh Graham fathead up at College Game Day on Saturday. If you missed that, it's up on our social media. What was the coolest part about watching Game Day in person for people who haven't seen the show that way?
I think one of the coolest things is really just the general atmosphere. It surprised me how little was about the actual game. It was just a big celebration of college football. You know what I mean? Seeing how they did the TV things, you start realizing, like, okay, this is for TV. And I've been to other TV events, and you start seeing kind of the production value and stuff like that. But, man, it's like they had everything covered. Down to, like I said, no sticks in the pit. They had signs where they had to mark out Hellman's. Because it was a Duke-sponsored event. If any, I remember somebody had a sign that said, Drake May eats Hellman's mayonnaise. And my man called him at the gate, took out a Sharpie, and started marking it out. Lee Corso being there was also one of the coolest things I've ever seen, being that close to those guys. And Pat McAfee, man, he's got his way with the crowd.
Oh,
that
man.
Was one of the coolest things, just seeing him come out and just get the vibe going with a look. I mean, he looked at the crowd, and all of a sudden the roof blew off the place. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, seeing Charlotte in that way, I'd never seen it that way before. It was amazing. It was one of the best experiences in my life. Would love to go back. Hopefully it'll be a little bit closer to my hometown because that was a lot driving back and forth. I spent like 6 hours on the road that day.
Yeah, if you watch, if North Carolina keeps playing the way it did, maybe College Game Day will be coming to your city. Really do appreciate you doing what you do, Kyle, the Amazon driver. We look forward to seeing what's next on the Josh Graham Fathead Tour.
Hey, flying by the seat of my pants, living on the edge of a lightning bolt. I have no idea what's coming. If anybody's got any suggestions, let me know, and I will be there full force, baby.
There it is. Shoot us some ideas for Kyle, the Amazon driver. There he goes, spending some time with us here on Labor Day Monday. But he is right about the show itself. The one thing that struck me, and it really was what bothered me most about our show on Friday with the ACC news. We had to talk about it. We knew it was going to take over the show, but what bothered me the most is I didn't feel like we talked enough about the games that were coming up. Game day, those 3 hours, they didn't talk really expansion at all.
No.
It's like, you guys are probably sick of this. You probably hate it. We're just going to talk about the football games. And that's what they did. And North Carolina, Lee Corso picked the Tar Heels, and the Tar Heels won. That's something that's never happened. I remember that he picked North Carolina another time. I think it might have been when they hosted Florida State in the 90s, and they did not win. Florida State won the game. But North Carolina, picked by Corso, and then they came through later that night. It was cool to follow that. In terms of other locals, see, NC State and North Carolina, or pardon me, NC State and Wake played on Thursday. Duke plays tonight. We had the Tar Heels there. My ECU Pirates covered.
They did.
Kicking a field goal at the end. Of course you kicked that field goal. Oh, but you know, you already knew you were going to lose. No, of course you kicked that field goal. You don't get shut out. They haven't been shut out since 97. And they covered. Boom. You ruined someone's day there. That's what makes me happy. It does. App State struggled a little bit with Gardner-Webb, but they got the result they needed ahead of App State, North Carolina, and Chapel Hill this week. Coming up, why Deion Sanders is making it hard, really hard, to root for him. It should be easy after Saturday. What a game that was. But he's making it hard, and that's next on The Drive.
It's The Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
This is a tough topic because our show is generally pro-fun. We're pro-anarchy in a lot of ways, too. In the context of sports, chaos can be fun for what we do. So really, we should love everything about what happened in Fort Worth on Saturday. Deion Sanders and Colorado winning by far the best game of the weekend against TCU. It's a remarkable achievement that they were able to win that football game. Let me start there. I hope, for college football's sake, that Colorado is good this year. Because if Deion Sanders is relevant and his team is relevant, that makes the sport more interesting. That helps everybody involved in the enterprise. With that said, Deion is making it tough to root for him. Because when it comes to coaching, it's pretty clear he's insecure. Like, he was never an insecure football player. Never. Or a baseball player. As an athlete, he was so confident in everything he did, he played multiple sports at one time and would try to play 3 games in a 24-hour span. That's the confidence that he had as a player. As a coach, it's different. There was that fiasco a few years ago where he called out the media or a media member for not calling him coach. You wouldn't call Nick Saban Nick. And all I could think was, I called Mike Krzyzewski Mike. Why? That's his name. That's his name. It's not disrespectful to call for one adult to call another adult their name, especially in sports. And it seems that he consumes a lot of media. He consumes a lot that's said about him. And things that are said bothers him. There's something about that that's bothersome when the post-game press conference that should be about what these kids did comes about Deion Sanders. Just listen to the way he went after Ed Werder, where it became Deion Sanders interrogating Ed Werder of ESPN for that, quote, bull blank or bull junkie that he wrote. Let's just listen to it.
What's up, boss? You believe that? You hold on. Hold on. Oh, no. Do you believe in that? Huh? Oh, No. I read through that bull junk you wrote. I read through that. I sifted through all that. Yeah. Oh, no. Come on. Do you believe? You don't believe. You just answered it. You don't believe. Next question.
The question that we need everybody to ask today. The question that everyone's trying to answer today.
Do you believe?
That's the question. Do you believe? That is the question. Let's try to answer the question. On offense, I believe they have some dudes.
Do you believe?
I believe in that. We know. Anybody who watched Jackson State knows. Hunter's a dude. Oh, is he a dude? There's no doubt. And Dylan Edwards. The reason why he was looking at Notre Dame and before Deion Sanders arrived at Colorado was going to be going to one of the top schools in the country.
Do you believe?
That you knew, we didn't know really Shedeur Sanders would come in and throw for 500 yards, but they're pretty good at Jackson. So.
Do you believe?
Yeah, and Deion made a point when he was asked about his son Shedeur to kind of clown the media again.
For real? Shedeur Sanders from my HBCU?
Absolutely.
The one that played at Jackson last year? The one that you asked me, why would I give him the starting job? But like that, no, not you. I got receipts. I know who they are. Not you, baby. I just got to say it. I would never do that.
I would never ask that.
Do
I
you
would,
believe?
I would ask that. You know? It is a pretty big jump coming from Jackson to Colorado. That's why you didn't just take his team with him.
Do you believe?
I'm being pressed here. I think, he never defined what believe meant. Like, is believing meaning that you're going to win the Pac-12 and
do you believe?
Win 9 or 10 games? Or is believing meaning you're going to make a bowl?
Do you believe?
If you would have asked me going into the weekend, is Colorado going to make a bowl? I'd probably say no. Now?
Do you believe?
Yeah. I think I do believe in Colorado making a bowl game. But someone needs to tell Prime, this is just one win, dude.
Do you believe?
It's against a TCU team replacing their quarterback and their offensive coordinator. You put up all those yards. Welcome to the Big 12, man.
Do you believe?
Look at the numbers Cliff Kingsbury put up with Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech. What did they win? Exactly nothing. Yet Deion's here acting like he won a Super Bowl. Like,
do you believe?
This is the part where I think it goes a little bit too far and it makes it hard to root for. When you get to, he's already talking about Heisman stuff for Dylan Edwards and Travis Hunter. Like, not a joke. Here he was talking about Travis Hunter for the Heisman.
I try to tell you, but you ain't want to believe me because I'm just a, you know, I'm just a lofty old young coach. I don't know nothing about football. You know, I just played in the NFL for 14, played at a high level in college for 4, you know, and been coaching youth all the way up for a long time. Travis is him, like the young folks say. Travis is it. I really think, you know, I always promote all my kids. I really think we got a couple guys that should be front runners for the Heisman right now. We got a couple of them that, who did that? Who did what they did today?
Do you believe?
We're talking Heisman after one game.
I mean, listen.
One game.
I understand. But
he's talking about the Heisman Trophy after one game.
I mean, if Travis Hunter can sustain some version of that.
I got breaking news for you. He can't.
Well, we don't know yet.
I do know that. You can't play a kid 120 snaps across an entire season. He will get hurt. Can you do it picking and choosing your spots? Sure. You could do that against TCU because you need it to win. You could do that later this month against USC where you might need him to play a lot of snaps. Can you do that over 12 games? Impossible.
Do you believe?
No. Don't believe in that. But again, the attention should be on his players, not him. And while he did shine praise on him there, if you sit and listen to those 12 minutes of that press conference, a lot of it is just him, it feels like, settling scores with the media. And nobody cares. Nobody cares about what people wrote and said about you. Except you. You do. It's like a fantasy football team. Dude, no one cares about your fantasy league. Nobody.
Do you believe?
And he's not deflecting it. Instead, he's going to make things harder for him. It reminds me a little bit of Cam Newton in 2015. When he went 15-1, boy, he was soaring like a rocket. We're going to dab and put on all these outfits and do all this. And then what happened when he lost the Super Bowl? He wears the hoodie, slumps down, and 3 minutes into the press conference, he just bails. Get ready. That's probably going to happen at some point this year with Deion Sanders. Because he does strike me as the guy who will dance and, you know, dunk on you. Oh, do you believe to the reporters in the front row when you win a game? Doesn't strike me as the guy who's going to answer the questions all that well when you lose. Because here's the thing. Colorado's going to lose games. But that doesn't mean I'm not a believer. I think he's going to win there. And I think it's fantastic. And I want to root for it.
Do you believe?
He makes it hard to root for because of the insecurities and how much self-flatulation there was in that entire press conference afterwards. And that's a shame.
You're on the drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
It's not just Jimmy Buffett that we lost. Steve Harwell, lead singer of Smash Mouth, passed away, we learned, at 56 as well. We'll get to the music Skipser plays with Hayes in just a few minutes as Hayes Permar joins us now from Sports Channel 8. But when it comes to Buffett, the reaction I've seen this weekend, I wasn't quite ready for. I wasn't ready for an entire football stadium in Charlotte to be singing, belting out Margaritaville at the top of their lungs. I didn't think that Jimmy Buffett had that type of resonance. What separates him from many of the other acts out there, Hayes Permar?
Well, I mean, so like you said, the what would be on the list of songs that, like, if you have to walk up to a random stranger and bet, you don't know their musical taste at all. They're just a person in America, let's say. And you got to say, all right, I'll bet they'll be able to sing me the chorus to this song. Like, I mean, you got, if you're not counting like Happy Birthday or Christmas carols, you know, if you're starting to, it has to actually have been like a original pop music, you know, song, could be country or rap or whatever. Like, Margaritaville is pretty well known, right? I'm trying to think of what would be on the list. Like,
Garth Brooks, I've got
friends. Yeah, I got friends in low places. Like, so yeah, songs that do karaoke, make karaoke a lot, you know.
Sweet Caroline.
Yes, Sweet Caroline would be one, but Margaritaville definitely in the mix. It's almost why, like Take Me Home, Country Roads. I mean, it is a great song, but now you sing it everywhere, and it's probably because, you know, I mean, I've known this from my days at minor league baseball. Like, you're trying to figure out what song do at least 80% of the people here not only know, but feel like they know well enough to sing comfortably out loud. And like when you find one, like if you play Wagon Wheel around Central North Carolina, there's certain places where you know certain songs, but just anywhere, wherever. I mean, seeing the clips of like The Rock and Stone Cold singing a Margaritaville duet during a dude, it was amazing. Go look at it. It's just a classic Monday Night Raw moment where it's like, okay, we got to work our two stars into the program. We can't have them fight every week, but at least we can come out there and have them. And they sing Margaritaville together. And then one of them like choke slams the other one, cause that's what wrestling does. But yeah, I think when you have a legacy of your song, at least one, and then he's got multiple where like people mostly knew Cheeseburger in Paradise or Fins or, you know, your songs are pretty well known. That's a pretty strong legacy.
Hayes Permar with us here from Sports Channel 8. Before we again get back to music with Skipser Plays with Hayes, you have taken on a project of restoring a monument, as many people see it, in the capital city in Raleigh, the Rialto Theater. We learned last week that ACC football games will be shown in movie theaters this year and that there's some type of relationship and partnership there. I guess the best way to ask this question would be, what challenges are there and what appeal is there to having ACC football games in movie theaters? What most interests you about that?
I mean, those are the same questions I'm asking, Josh, as a now movie theater owner. But here's the question that my first conversation with the Theater Sports Network folks was good. And, you know, I was almost walking them through ACC fandom. You know, they were like, oh, Duke Clemson. Well, a lot of people go to a movie theater to watch that. Clemson's a big team. And I was like, no. People aren't. I mean, maybe if it was Monday night. I sort of told them, in general, I'd be less likely to carry a game every Saturday, but I might have done something like Labor Day weekend, called a college football blowout, and I might have carried every one of these like primetime games if offered, or at least North Carolina, South Carolina on Saturday night. Oh, yeah, we had NC State Thursday night. Could have played UNC, South Carolina on Saturday and Duke Clemson on Monday and just have Labor Day weekend be the one weekend and then maybe come back at the college football playoff and do it. Here's the challenge as far as I see, right? I will not name this place specifically because I'm not, especially if they happen to be operating in a gray area or illegally, I'm not trying to call anybody out. But there's a new age sports bar, like that's sports bar on steroids, and they have a screen that is bigger than mine. So whatever they call themselves, they've got a huge screen just like I have a huge screen, right? I have no doubt that on Saturday night at this place, in Cary, in the new Fenton neighborhood, where there's a lot of sports and socializing, but I won't tell you the name of the place.
Yeah.
You can go in there for free, and on that 42-foot screen that they brag about, I guarantee you North Carolina, South Carolina was on there. And they don't care that you're not paying anything to get in. They just want you to come in and buy somewhere between 3 and 30 beers and some shots each or whatever is ethically, you know, good to push on a crowd, whatever they can take to drink. That's what you're doing, and then they make a big haul. So, A, if what they are doing is legal, and I presume it is, or they wouldn't be operating so boldly and, you know, raking a bunch of cash doing it, then why would anybody pay $20 or $30 to go to a movie theater and watch it? Like, I don't think the experience is that much different. And then also, if they are doing that, why can't I just do what they're doing and not have to go to this theater sports model? I'm already paying a business cable package. I presume that, you know, another sports bar would. So I need someone to explain to me what my appeal as an owner is. If I could legally just show the game, not charge anything, pay my business cable package, and then people will buy a bunch of beer for me and watch the game, yeah, that's an event I might try to do. If I'm trying to charge $30 a head, like they're suggesting, then it's tougher. I'd much rather try and get –
I have no idea about the $30 a head. Nobody would do that. But I am thinking about, like, Notre Dame facing Wake Forest. If your team's, like, on the road, that's a huge game. Sam Hartman facing Wake again. I wouldn't mind going to a movie theater and buying some popcorn and a big gulp and watching that game.
I think there's one-off opportunities, but yeah, the price point is huge. Now, $30 is based on what they know they're going to charge. Like, they're basically going to charge me, the theater owner, $20 per person watching. Now, I can charge whatever I want. If I want to charge $10 because I think, well, then 400 people might come and I'll get a huge bar and forget that I'm not even making that much of the tickets. But, or if I got like a sponsor, if the Josh Graham Show wanted to pay to be the sponsor of,
you know, come
the watch parties at the Rialto with the Josh, sponsored by the Drive with Josh Graham, then, you know, you're paying something to then in theory defrays the cost of what the every customer comes in and your name's on there and all that stuff.
When Boston College faces NC State, I think we're all Boston over that College? As the sponsor. Oh wait, Boston College this year is the first Boston ACC College? Team ever to not face a team from the state of North Carolina this year because of scheduling. So that's not going to happen.
No, but no one's in charge anymore. It's obvious.
Also, they lost to Northern Illinois, so that's actually tough for our state's teams. All right, let's get to skips or plays with Hayes.
Hayes Permar is somewhat of a Renaissance man, an expert in the finer things, but he hangs his hat on music.
Loves his God, and he's no friend of Satan.
He was like 06, getting busy with his sticks, been watching Big Mike and Lil Trick. I just need a Zion and someone he can dunk on.
Today, Hayes will decide if this music is smash or trash, glows or blows. It's time for skips or plays with Hayes.
Here's all I know. WD says, I'm going to recap the weekend with music. I don't know what that means.
First of all, can we address the fact, isn't that Walking in the Sun, Walking on the Sun, playing right there? Isn't that the instrumental to Walking on the Sun?
Pretty good. That's
pretty good. Are we not playing with Jack the Smash Mouth?
Yeah. Shout out. What is the first song that you have in your weekend recap, WD?
So because Jimmy Buffett passed away, but we'd start there. Now, I don't want to go basic and do Margaritaville, or we've already done Lovely Cruise, so.
It's going to be Cheeseburger.
Let's go Cheeseburgers in Paradise.
I defy Permar to skip Buffett today.
I mean, there are certain Buffett songs that if you gave me, I'd be like, nah, it's a skip. It's not a good song. But it's a good song. I legitimately like this song. It's cheesy, but also it's super fun. It is a lot like a Smash Mouth song. Makes you happy, makes you tap your feet. It's good music to play.
Hey, Permar.
There was the running bit. I think it might have been Kevin Hart. Maybe it wasn't Kevin Hart who said, like, try to frown on a jet ski. Like, it's impossible to frown on a jet ski.
No, that was Daniel Tosh.
Daniel Tosh. That's who did that. It's like that song's like a jet ski in that regard. Try to frown while hearing Cheeseburger in Paradise or singing that song. What's the next one?
So to get to the UNC South Carolina piece of the weekend, Eric Church, you might have seen, was running around with a Tez Walker jersey down there in Chapel Hill, it's hugging amazing. Mac Brown.
It's amazing how many people know Tez Walker's name and cares about this Kent State transfer. Oh, my gosh. You would have thought like Jim Harbaugh that he died this weekend. Oh, wait, Jim Harbaugh didn't die? They were doing the tribute with the four fingers up against ECU?
No, he's just out for a game or two.
Tez Walker, unbelievable. Okay.
So anyway, we're going Drink in My Hand by Eric Church.
Fill it up, I'll throw it down. I got a 40-hour week worth of trouble to drown. No need to complicate.
App State grad.
Yeah, so here's my trouble with Eric Church. I need to listen to him and figure out which songs I like, because I'm sure he has some good songs. But, like, I kind of don't dig his voice. Like, his voice, it sounds like, I'm not saying he is, but he sounds like a guy singing, like, fake country voice. Almost, you know, guys, some people have, like, a fake radio voice. Like, everybody's kind of, if you work in radio, nobody talks 100% the same that they do, like, in real life. But there's guys that it's just, like, feels like it's totally, Josh Graham's the opposite. He sounds like a radio guy, but he sounds like that all the time.
Yeah.
Like you do talk like that, but
people complain all the time. It's like, turn it off, Josh. I'm like, I don't know how.
Yes. So he sounds like a fake country voice, almost like he's trying too hard to sound country. And I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying it puts that thought in my mind. So he's a skip. Get him out.
Hated
it.
And also, I know this is fan gatekeeping a little bit, and I don't like to do that. But like, you got to chill. Being a Tar Heel when you weren't actually a Tar Heel. It's okay to fly to the Final Four. It's okay to say you're pulling for UNC versus Duke.
Is that what we're doing?
But you can't be.
Are we subtweeting BDOT? Is that what we're doing?
No, I mean, BDOT, if you get hired for the program, that's one thing. That's totally different. If you get hired, that changes things. But like, and like, that's BDOT's work. Church is doing this. You know, I'm sure it's like helping his brand. I'm sure he's like loves being boys with Jordan and, you know, the whole Charlotte crowd and all that, but it's too much. It is. It's too much. It's too much Tar Heel. I say that as somebody who pulls for Carolina. It's too much.
The last song of our weekend recap is?
Yes. So the story of the college football weekend was probably Deion Sanders and what Colorado did to TCU. So I got to thinking about this. I'm like, okay, like, well, I find an artist from Colorado. No.
I know what we're doing.
I'm going straight to the source. Must Be the Money by Deion Sanders.
You know, ever since I turned pro in 1989,
let's go.
I got it was strange. Those things changed.
Must be the money.
So I called my mama and she said, baby,
must be the money.
Did he do the Deion dance? Please let him do it as a head. He still has the hurt foot, doesn't he? Here's the play.
Turn that into the press conference room.
Great pull. I need him just. I mean, that was the greatest dance of all time, especially when he would bust it out for like the last 10 yards of the touchdown run. just either high stepping or starting to dance. No, that's a play, huge play. Deion Sanders. I mean, you know how this is going to end. You know they're not going like 11-1 and like they're going to go 5-6 or something.
Yeah.
And then, but it's still awesome as it's out there. Like with Deion, it just gets the Deion all over everybody. It is fun to watch.
I'm going to one up you. I looked at the point spreads for this week, and I just fully expected Colorado to be favored by double digits against Matt Rhule and Nebraska and Boulder this week. 5-point spread. Dude, Vegas knows. Knows what's about to happen this week, that Matt Rhule and Nebraska are going to beat him, and then Deion's going to pull a Cam Newton in the Super Bowl and not show up for his press conference.
Well, I'm definitely pulling for Colorado this weekend against Matt Rhule. I wish only bad things on that guy, but I agree. Look, Deion can call me out if I'm wrong, but like, there's no way it stays this good, right? I mean, I believe. I want it to, but there's no way, right?
Hayes Permar, we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your Labor Day.
Thank you, guys.
Must be the money!